that virtually all the routine antagonisms among workers, young versus old, black versus white, women versus men, had melted away in solidarity. Socialist and anarchist workers in the plant published their recollections in a commemorative pamphlet entitled Wildcat, Dodge Truck, June 1974. In it, they state, quote, "We were excited by the collective decision of thousands of Chrysler employees to deny the authority of daily wage labor and, for even 4 days, to say no to the demands of the alarm clock, the production line, bosses, union bureaucrats, judges, and cops. It was, in fact, a total frustration with and rejection of all the things inside and outside the plant which exercise control over our lives." By the time it was over, 30 strikers had been arrested. Strike leaders were branded as communist agitators by the union, and area judges issued injunctions to end the picketing. The Wildcat may have failed, but workers had pushed back against management offensives.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
The big story this week, you know, as we've been talking about all week, this ProPublica piece, the fact that some tax returns were leaked. We now got to see that Jeff Bezos didn't pay any taxes for a couple of years. In fact, you know, a couple of those years took the child tax credit that was meant for people making under $100,000. We also find out 55 companies paid zero, spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbying. And you wonder, you know, how did we get the tax code that we got? And as I've argued, you know, from the beginning, this is it's working exactly the way it's supposed to. This is the way the lobbyists want it, to make sure that the wealthier get wealthier. And well, we starve the beast until they can drag it in the bathtub and drown it. Here to share some thoughts on the ProPublica piece and maybe how we move forward to correct our problems, I've asked our good friend Morris Pearl to come talk with us. Morris is the chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires, their website, patrioticmillionaires.org. Morris, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick. Great to be on your show.
So I'm sure you saw the ProPublica piece. Are we surprised by anything in there? I mean, it's nothing new, is it?
No. That's the whole point, is that's exactly how it's always been working. You don't pay tax on getting wealthy. You pay tax on this concept called income. Income does not mean stocks going up. Income means getting a paycheck every week with tax fees withheld from it. Or it means selling your stock at a profit. But somebody like Mr. Bezos, he's a billionaire. He doesn't need any income. So of course he has, you know, he owns a huge amount of Amazon. It gets more valuable. He gets richer and richer and richer. And yeah, he doesn't have any income from that. So he doesn't have to pay much taxes. I mean, I don't even see why people are so surprised at that. But I think that's what we have to do.
Yep.
Is better publicize how the tax system works and make people understand it, that it's based around people being taxed on their labor, not on their wealth.
And I'm glad you said that, because here's the reality. The right has done a masterful job. And look, I give credit and I'm in awe of how the wealthy in this country and corporations and the right have committed to messaging and to, you know, media, and have invested a lot of time, energy, and money in convincing the working class to anytime they hear the word taxes to foam at the mouth like a Pavlovian dog without actually thinking about what you just said. It's them who's paying the taxes, not the guy at the top.
Exactly. I pay myself. I'm not as rich as Mr. Bezos, but I probably pay half the tax rate that the people who work in your office pay, because I get all of my income from long-term capital gains. My tax rates are 0% and 15%.
Now, I just had this conversation the other day with someone who said, well, you're just jealous. You know, these are people who did very well. They worked very hard. We're a country where if you work hard, you get ahead. We don't punish people. So what do you say to the person, Morris, who goes, you know, we don't want to punish people like you. We want everybody to be you.
I don't want to punish anybody. I run a group called the Patriotic Millionaires, for God's sakes. We think everyone should become a millionaire. We just think that those people who are millionaires should pay the same tax rate as those people who work for a living.
So are you in favor of a flat tax then? Is that the idea?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we think that people should pay taxes based on how much money they make. People who make less money should pay lower tax rates than people who make more money, but it should not depend on how you make your money.
Okay.
Whether I make my money selling some stock or whether I make my money working 40 hours a week for 50 weeks a year, you should still pay taxes on the same rules. I don't think it's right that we have one set of rules for people who work for a living and a different set of rules for people who are rich enough they don't have to.
We agree. So, you know, where the thought now is in my mind is the system's working perfect. It's exactly the way it was designed. It's working perfectly. Problem is it's not working for us. How do we go back and then change some of those things? You know, you think back and you go back to the Eisenhower years. It was a much higher top marginal rate. In fact, the tax rates went up every $2,000 from zero to, well, the top rate, which was 92% at the time. Is that the way forward? Do we tax, capital gains at the same rate as income? How do you see us moving forward to make this system a little more, well, where the rich pay a little bit more?
Look, we've made fantastic progress over the past couple of years. We haven't gotten any laws changed. But since the Trump tax cuts for the rich in the end of 2017, people have started to understand this. You know, and people have been reading our book, Tax the Rich. And so people are coming along to our point of view. This was a fringe idea a few years ago. Now the president of the United States is on our side. So I think we are making progress. I think we just have to have the people with us. And we've seen lawmakers working on this. Senator Wyden of Oregon, Ron Wyden, has proposed a bill to tax people on the amount their wealth increases, regardless of whether or not they sell their stock or make machinations or whatnot. If you get richer, you pay taxes on that increase under his proposal. Senator Warren of Massachusetts has proposed that we tax people based on how wealthy they are. And that shouldn't be considered a radical concept. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts was created by people who knew we needed common wealth. And back then they taxed people based on their wealth was all land. And they still tax people based on real estate. They still have a real estate tax there and everywhere else. But now most people's wealth is not in their real estate, it's in their stock portfolios and everywhere else. But so middle-class people are still paying a wealth tax because they pay the real estate tax every year. It's only the rich that have gotten out of paying a wealth tax. So they think they should return our country to the way it was founded, the wealthy people paying the taxes.
No, and it makes sense, but here we just saw the Gang of 10. 10 Republicans, 10 Democrats who now have, evidently they have a bipartisan agreement on infrastructure, but the one thing that's not in there, how to pay for it by raising the taxes where it needs to be raised.
I don't understand what they're afraid of. All I can think of, Rick, is that they've developed some kind of appeasement policy. Oh, you know, rich people are like our parents. We have to be nice to them and polite and appease them and do whatever they say. It's kind of like their way of thinking of just, you know, we do what our leader tells us to do.
But I go a little simpler. They've taken the pledge. They've all taken and they've sworn a blood oath to Grover Norquist and his group that evidently is more sacred than the oath that they took to defend and uphold the Constitution of the United States. Because, look, you can't get a Republican to say that we're going to raise taxes. I think it's got to be a blood oath. I think they've sworn a secret pact to the devil or something.
Yeah, I mean, I can't explain any better than that. I mean, we need to change the system because we're going to end up with a few rich people and lots of poor people and no middle class. And then it won't be possible to get rich anymore because people get rich by investing in businesses like Amazon, like Netflix, like all the others that depend on people paying their bills every month. People have enough money to do things. If we live in a country filled with poor people, it doesn't work.
No, and that's a problem. I mean, at the end of the day, we've created a system to the winner go the spoils. And now we've almost got the guy who's won the, you know, when I grew up, it was the one who with the most toys at the end wins. We've almost got the guy who's got the most toys. I mean, Jeff Bezos, and now I find out, was it Richard Branson, I think it was his name? They're competing to see which of them can go to space first. I'm going, what? We've got people starving here, and you're playing Space Wars.
Well, I've no problem with people going to space. I mean, he can do whatever he wants with his money. I just think that we should change the system so
right,
that
but
rich
here's,
people
here's
pay
the thing.
More taxes.
$10 billion of that dollars is our money. At the end of the day, we're still paying for their toys. Look, if it was just his money, fine, go do your thing. But we're still subsidizing them because our tax code is that screwed up.
Well, yes, we are. We are subsidizing people who are not paying their fair share. But still, I have no problem with somebody like Jeff Bezos being very rich. And frankly, the screwed up tax system we have has been around longer than Jeff Bezos has.
Sure.
So it's not like he caused the problem. But I think he's sort of a symbol of how well it works in having the rich get richer and richer and richer and everyone else not.
What do you say to the person, Morris, who goes, no, what we need is we don't need the wealth tax because it's too hard to figure out. We don't need the other thing. We need a consumption tax. I got conservative friends who are all hell-bent on we need consumption taxes. And I guess, you know, like here, what we're doing here in Pennsylvania, don't tax food and clothing. I guess you could make some of those exceptions. Are we a consumption tax guy or thoughts?
No, I don't think that's a good idea at all. Because if you think about different people, like say you have a guy that makes $80,000 a year driving a truck. He probably spends most of that $80,000 a year. And he would be paying taxes as a certain percentage of his income. Now, say you have the guy who owns the trucking company, who makes $8 million a year. He doesn't live 100 times better than the truck driver. He maybe lives 20 times better than the truck driver. So he pays 20 times more taxes, even though he makes 100 times more money. So he has a much lower tax rate on his income than the people that work for him. And that's just not right. The consumption tax essentially taxes working people at a much higher rate than rich people. And I mean, that's why it works well if you're rich, I guess.
Right.
But it's not the right thing to do. That's why I'm so against this idea of increasing the gasoline tax. Because poor people spend a lot more money on gasoline than rich people do. I don't spend anything on gasoline. I don't even have a car. I don't need a car. I live here on Park Avenue. But regular people spend lots of their income on gas money, and increasing their gas bill by even a dollar or two a week, that'll make a big difference to them.
Yeah, no, you're right. And this is where it comes back to the difference in ideologies from the right and the left. You know, I look at Mitt Romney, who was governor of Massachusetts, who while he was running for president said that he didn't raise taxes one time as governor, but he did raise fees on everyone like 500 times. So it's just a different way of getting money out of poor and working class folks and allowing people like himself to get away. And this is why I find it interesting. We've got millionaires in the Senate who are okay with taxing me and other working stiffs, but you know their peers, not so much.
Yeah, the average American, averaging across the entire country, pays on average more than $100 a year in gasoline tax now.
So what happens when they go to a mileage tax, which is what some are trying to push out there, because as we're going to go to electric vehicles, got to pay for those roads somehow. How do you see that shifting then?
I would prefer a system where people pay taxes based on how rich they are, with rich people having higher tax rates than people that work for a living. I don't think it's good to have a system where everyone pays taxes the same amount. Essentially, if like everyone who drives paying the same amount, well, that sounds fair, but it means that poor people are spending a much higher percentage of their income on this tax than rich people are. So that's why it doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. So for me, it comes back to the nuts and bolts. And are we moving in that direction? Do you see the policies? I know you said Wyden's come out with a bill. Is that Elizabeth Warren's got her wealth tax? Do you see that actually passing? I mean, we're in a moment where there's going to be not a Republican that's going to come along. So do you get Manchin, Sinema? Do you get the conservative Democrats to come along?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not the guy who got 75 million votes, so I'm not a political prognosticator. But I think that we're in the moment, and it could be now or never, you know? And it's going to come down to Kamala Harris walking into the room and picking up the gavel and banging the gavel and say the clerk will call the roll, and, you know, ignoring the people yelling about filibustering and whatnot.
So what's the suggestion for just our listeners? I mean, at the end of the day, one of the reasons I like having you come on is because every time you come on, people are going, I can't believe a rich guy saying raise my taxes. And I always write back. He's not saying raise my taxes and squander my money. He's saying raise the taxes because we know we need stuff. But, you know, what's the marching order out of this?
Well, get your congresspeople, your senators, and your president to keep remembering that you are behind this effort. You know, tell the White House that you're still supporting the president's efforts. If you have one of those Democratic senators, remind them that you're still on the case. You know, the ones from New Hampshire, the ones from Delaware, they need to be convinced too. And we need to make sure they're on the case. I mean, that's all I can say is we live in a democracy. Our representatives should eventually answer to the people. And if you're one of the people that they answer to, well, make sure they know what your answer is.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, you know, when you talk about these tax proposals, they're overwhelmingly popular. I mean, when you lay it out as you have, and I've had very few people push back and defend, you know, the Jeff Bezoses of the world. They're very popular, but still they're not getting through. Doesn't it ultimately come back to us, the voters, we, the voters, for continually putting people in who aren't doing what we want them to do?
Well, I hope you're right, because that means the voters can do better. I mean, there's a lot of challenges, even in your state of Pennsylvania, there's challenges because of the way the lines are drawn and, you know, the voters in the middle of the state having more power than the voters in the edges of the state. But those are things that can be overcome. We don't really have different interests based on where we live. You know, people who live in the middle of the state actually have more of an interest in not paying gas tax than people who live downtown. I think we have to understand that our interests are really together and that our principles and our financial interests are really the same thing. It's not valid to say that, oh, on principle, we don't want rich people to pay more taxes. Well, that's not a good principle. It's just not a good idea. It's not that you're putting some valid principle above your own economic interests. So you're putting some stupid idea from greedy rich people ahead of your own economic interests.
I like how you put that. So how do we get the book, Tax the Rich, How Loopholes and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer? How do we get a copy of that?
Sure, it's in bookstores everywhere. Whatever your favorite bookstore, you can get a copy. Or in fact, if you want, I will send you a copy.
And how do we get that?
So look at taxtherich.com, look at patrioticmillionaires.org, and send us a message on our patrioticmillionaires.org website.
Good stuff.
And we will get copies.
And we'll make sure we get links out on social media. Morris, always great talk with you. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Anytime, Rick. Have a good night, sir.
You as well. Our good friend Morris Pearl. Make sure you check out their website. Patrioticmillionaires.org is the website. We'll get the links out on how you can take a look at that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1969. That was the day that labor leader John L. Lewis died. Born to a Welsh-American coal mining family in Iowa, Lewis became the leading champion of industrial unionism in the 1930s. He served as president of the United Mine Workers of America from 1920 until 1960. He was the founder of the Congress of Industrial Organizations. The CIO split off from the American Federation of Labor with the aim of organizing the thousands of workers who powered the U.S. industrial machine. Some public officials and the media accused the CIO of being infiltrated with communism. In 1937, Lewis delivered a speech in Washington, D.C. to deny these claims. The speech captured Lewis's commitment and passion for industrial labor organizing. He declared, quote, "The workers of the nation were tired of waiting for corporate industry to right their economic wrongs, to alleviate their social agony, and to grant them their political rights. Despairing of fair treatment, they resolved to do something for themselves. They therefore have organized a new labor movement conceived within the principles of the National Bill of Rights and committed to the proposition that the workers are free to assemble in their own forms, voice their own grievances, declare their own hopes, and contract on even terms with modern industry for the sale of their only material possession, their labor." He went on to say, quote, "Under the banner of the Committee of Industrial Organization, American labor is on the march. Its objectives today are those it had in the beginning, to strive for the unionization of our unorganized millions of workers and for the acceptance of collective bargaining as a recognized American institution."